Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Macro Micro News for Friday, the 18th of October, 2024. And it's a horrible market. And it's been horrible. If you are, you know, a small cap investor, micro cap investor, and you're on AIM generally looking for growth companies, it's been awful, historically awful. It's been down for 3 years, in a bear market for 3 years. Now, generally, bear markets last 12 to 18 months. This has been 36 months and counting. And so you're going to ask the question, is this something systemically wrong with AIM? If there is, it's not going to get any better. Listen to this NVIDIA news. I took hope from this originally this morning. And the more research I've done now, the more I think Labour are going to hammer AIM even more. This is from Robert Peston at ITV. He says, here are the big spending and tax numbers. So these are the big numbers, okay? For the October 30th budget. They've been signed off by the Chancellor so that the Office of Budget Responsibility can carry out its statutory responsibility to forecast their impact on the economy and government borrowings. Of course, they have to put these figures to the OBR so they can say whether it's a go, it's viable or not, basically. So £15 billion plus will come from national insurance on employers' contributions to the pension pots of their employees. Around about £9 billion from windfall tax on oil and gas producers, VAT on private schools, the levy on carry or profit share of private equity partners, plus assorted measures to crack down on tax avoidance and force wealthy foreigners with homes in London, then doors nom-doms. It's going for that, okay? And a few billion pounds raised from increasing the basic rate of capital gains tax from 20% to around 24. We still don't know that because someone put the question to Starmer, is capital gains tax going to go up in line with income tax up to 40%? And he says that's way off. So it is going up a little bit. So it's not as bad as we think. There's no mention of scrapping biz relief on AIM shares. But remember, these are the big numbers. Okay. So I read the BBC reports this morning as well, listening to Radio 4, and they say it's understood the Prime Minister and Chancellor are considering multiple changes to the tax, which currently includes several exemptions and reliefs. This is about inheritance tax, IHT. Inheritance tax is charged at 40% on the property, possessions and money of somebody who has died above the 325k threshold. It raises about £7 billion a year for the government. Around 4% of deaths result in inheritance tax charge. But of course, your main home is exempt pretty much, if it's one home. And then you've got 325k each. So if you're husband and wife, for example, that's 650. The tax includes a series of exemptions, which over the years, several governments have considered changing in order to raise money. It is thought changes to a number of these are under consideration. Current exemptions and reliefs include rules around gifts that are given while you're alive. If a person gives away more than 325 grand in cash or gifts but dies within 7 years, recipients could be liable to pay inheritance tax. So after 7 years and not. So that may the gift may change. The level you can give and the time period maybe. There's also business relief for inheritance tax. There we go. And agricultural relief, which allows land or pasture that is used to grow crops or to rear animals to be free of inheritance tax. Now, this has been the route for many, many wealthy people to buy these kind of swathes of land and be exempt from inheritance tax. So they're pretty going to close that loophole. And I think, you know, business relief on AIM shares is probably going to go as well. It's going to be scrapped. What I don't understand is the increase in national insurance contributions for employers will not only be bad for growth, which they champion so often. We're going for growth, growth, growth. Yes, for working people, smash the gangs, put more money in your pocket. All that nonsense they're talking about. I also see it's inflationary. I was listening to a podcast yesterday with a few business owners on there, and they were saying there's no other way. So businesses can't keep shouldering the costs, especially small and medium-sized enterprises. The national living wage has risen about 30% over the last 3 years. There's a workers' rights package coming in, which reduces flexibility. Of course, you know, Labour says you must give someone a contract, but many business owners are saying, well, yes, we're happy to give people who are regular, you know, employees a contract. Yes, well, many good businesses, that happens anyway. But they want the flexibility for people, for employees as well, not just for employers, to be able to come in and work when they want. It was a lady I listened to yesterday, I think Radio 5 Live was on there, and she said, we have people who have left the business, they're doing other things, but sometimes we have busy periods, and they're happy for us to contact them if we have a launch of something, then to come back in and work some hours in the week and not be on contract. And it suits them as well. Students as well, for example. So, you know, on holidays, they want to work as many... Well, up to them, how many hours they want to work. There's a lot of flexibility to that. And it works for the employee and the employer. That's not going to be allowed now. You have to have a contract of work for a certain amount of hours. So, firstly, many businesses will have to increase the price of their product or service to afford these increases, which is inflationary, and would likely see a decrease in sales. It's economics 101. If you raise the price of something, you'll sell less of it. This is not going to stimulate growth. So these employers, faced with higher costs and decreasing sales, are obviously not going to grow and employ more people. This is not a growth policy. It's the opposite. Labour trying to cover off too many areas that you can't do austerity and growth. This is what they're attempting to do. They need to stimulate growth first, and that way they'll take more in tax. You can't take more in tax first and expect growth. It doesn't happen that way around. Now, based on this short-sighted vision that Labour are pulling out there already, we're still seeing what's going to happen, I would now fully expect Labour to scrap business relief on AIM shares. So they're going to get, what, a billion, maybe a billion and a half from it. But they have to use it to fund other things. So that means all the IHT vehicles, the funds, you know, like on AIM, invest in AIM shares, for IHT planning, will be scrapped. Now, there are a number of rumours in the market saying this could be 6 billion of outflows from AIM. And regardless of whether you hold a company on AIM that one of these funds holds, the knock-on effect will be quite large, I believe. Because if you are an investor and some of your big stocks go down, what do you start doing? Selling begets selling. It's like buying begets. That's why it's hard to come out of a bear market, because more selling encourages others to sell. Share price drops, people sell, and then it carries on. That, I believe, is going to happen. Now. So I'm not surprised now that I think Labour are going to scrap business relief on AIM companies. Now, I don't know what kind of effect this will have. I think AIM should recover. Hopefully it'll recover. I think good businesses will probably move to the main market, maybe. But if you have cash, I suppose it could be a buying opportunity. But I just find it unbelievable that, you know, a government that stand behind growth, they champion growth, been one of the main pillars, where it is the main pillar of their economic policy, is pretty much going to pull the rug under from the AIM market, which is called the growth market. Don't make no sense to me. By the way, this podcast looks at economic data relevant to the UK and news releases from revenue-generating UK microcap stocks. These are companies with a market capitalization below 100 million. Sharepickers.com/tips if you want to receive my email, join my email list, by all means do that. And by the way, if you listen to this podcast on a regular basis, please consider, I know it's a ball ache, or maybe that's not PC in this day and age. Maybe even the phrase PC isn't PC anymore. But I know it's a pain going somewhere and signing in and giving a review. But if you could do that, a nice review and some stars, that would help this podcast get out there a bit more to other people. Anyway, let's look at the markets today. So we got FTSE 100 down 0.14% to 8373. FTSE 250, it's up a fifth of 1% at 21,145. The FTSE small cap, it's up, well, exactly the same, a fifth of 1% to 6976. AIM All Share, oh, I thought we were going to have a three-day bounce here. But it's looking like, no, maybe it's not. It's down a smidge, 0.13% to 741. So it's off the lows. The lows were around about sort of 734, 733. It'd be interesting to see, actually, in the next week or so. I don't believe the selling has started yet. I think more will be released, of course. More will be leaked from the budget. It'd be interesting to see what happens, because I believe these IHT funds are invested in more stable, profitable companies on AIM, bigger companies, to see what the effect that'll have. Because, of course, they're bigger, they will take down the index more. But we'll see. Commodities. Brent crude futures, they're at $74 a barrel. It's flat on yesterday, pretty much the day before. Copper, of course, I'll cover sort of Chinese figures in a bit. But it relies on that on the Chinese market. It's bouncing here a little bit. It's at 1.83% to how many dollars? $9,707 a ton. And gold is at an all-time high. It's right now, as I speak, it's an all-time high. These are gold futures. They're at $2,727 an ounce. And I think this will carry on. I said a while back, $3,000, I think it'll be hitting that. I don't know. Well, it's done 33% this year, gold. That's a phenomenal movement, isn't it? Anything else there? No, it's not. So let's look at macro news. Story number one. British retail sales unexpectedly rose in September. Contradicted signs that consumers were downbeat about possible tax rises ahead of the new government's first budget late this month. Sales volumes increased by 0.3% in September, beating economists' expectations for a monthly 0.3% fall. Combined with stronger gains in July and August, sales rose by 1.9% in the third quarter, the joint largest increase since mid-2021. So maybe, you know, a bit of a bright spot on the horizon there. Telecoms and computers. Oh, this is telling. Telecoms and computers were the main drivers of non-food sales, with the sector jumping by almost 35% in monthly terms in September. Why? Last month, Apple unveiled an artificial intelligence-focused iPhone 16 lineup, as well as a sleeker Apple Watch and new AirPods. So that's always going to have a bump. Do you know what? I think it's like 70% of people renew their phone, not because of the new model out. It's just because the battery or the phone's outdated. So it's a contractual thing. So they've always got that sort of recurring revenue of new phones. So remember, though, Apple does not release a phone every quarter or every month. So those consumer figures that are quite bullish because of telecoms and computers won't be around. So these are the figures. Core retail sales year on year to September, 4%. Forecast was 3.2%. Previous month for year on year was 2.2%. So from 2.2% to 4%, on a yearly basis. Core retail sales month on month, so up 0.3%. Forecast was minus 0.3%. They didn't factor in the Apple iPhone, did they? But before that, last month on month was up 1.1. So it's gone from 1.1 to 0.3. So even with that boost from Apple sales, it's still way below the previous month of 1.1. Okay, story number two. Debt rule to change to fund major projects. This is from BBC Business. The Treasury has given its clearest indication yet it will change its self-imposed debt rule in order to borrow billions to fund new infrastructure projects. Independent checks on spending for major building work will be introduced to allow the government to borrow for investment more efficiently, the Treasury Chief Secretary Darren Jones has said. He claims that the safeguards on spending will aim to avoid a repeat of the financial turmoil which followed 2022 mini-budget under former Prime Minister Liz Truss. God, you know what's nuts now, isn't it, to think she was a Prime Minister for a while? And that was in 2022. The Tories went through, was it four Prime Ministers or three or four or five? I don't know. Johnson, well, it's Cameron, Johnson, Truss, Sunak. Anyone else in there? I can't. What the government is calling the guardrails. Oh, yeah, Theresa May. This is five. What the government is calling the guardrails for infrastructure spending will form part of its aim to encourage private sector to invest in British projects. The changes will include a new National Infrastructure and Service Transformation Authority that will oversee a 10-year strategy for a pipeline of major projects aligned with a series of spending reviews and long-term budgets for investment in, for example, buildings, roads and rail. I welcome that, but I think it's at the expense right now. Maybe it's the short-term expense, you know, of private investors, especially on AIM. Who knows? I may be proved wrong, but I do believe they'll scrap that business relief. And finally, macro story number three. China's economic slowdown deepens. China's economy expanded in the third quarter at the slowest pace since early last year, as the country struggles to boost flagging growth. On an annual basis, gross domestic product rose by 4.6% in the 3 months to the end of September, according to China's National Bureau of Statistics. Now, a lot of people are saying, well, many countries around the world would die for 4.6%. Yes, but that isn't the point, I don't think. The fact is, this growth is slowing. And if you look at short-term figures, it's not getting any better. And like I said, their target is 5%. So it's less than the previous quarter and below the government's 5% target for this year. So how you know, for how long does it carry on slowing for? That is the worry. But this is slightly better than analysts expected, while other official figures released on Friday, including retail sales and factory output, also beat forecasts. In recent weeks, Beijing has announced a number of measures aimed at supporting growth. This is the second quarter in a row the Chinese official measure of economic growth has fallen below 5% target, which will add to government concerns. Yeah, they tend to, in fact, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it? I was looking at, when China was down, I was looking at Chinese ETFs. I said, no, I didn't touch them. And they came out with that stimulus package. And the CSI 300, one of the biggest 300 stocks in the Shanghai Index, has rallied by 40% since the 18th of September. It's down 12% now. But imagine an index that volatile, up 40% since last month, and down 12% since the 8th of October. Anyway, these are the figures for GDP quarter on quarter. Q3 increased by 0.9%. Forecasts were for 1%, but the previous was 0.7, so it's increased a little bit. Year on year for Q3, 4.6%. The forecast was 4.6%, and previously it was 4.7, so it's down. So it's edging down a bit. And like I said, the input and output figures for China's exports, way below expectations. So it is a little bit concerning, but let's move on. There's not much micro, in fact, there's no micro news. Friday now seems to be the desert for RNSs. So I've just looked at, oddly, CEOs of two, you know, some mid-caps have stood down today. The first one is quite surprising. Future PLC. John Steinberg, CEO, has informed the board of his decision to step down from the board next year to relocate back to the US with his family. John's notice period is 12 months, and the board will now launch a search for his successor. Now, John was the great hope to revive the company after the retirement of long-standing CEO Zilla Bing Thorne, who had amazing success with Future. She went from print, basically, to digital and succeeded. And it was like a 10-bagger. Another company is so strangely stepping down. We look at him back to the US with his family. Are they here or are they just all going back there? Do they not like the UK? And certainly is Boohoo. This is a very odd one, Boohoo, the recent RNS. And this was the headlines. Business update. And there's four bullet points. It was almost like they're trying to brush it under the carpet. New $220 million debt refinancing successfully signed. Point two, review of options to unlock and maximise shareholder value. Point three, H125 trading update and full year outlook. Point five, CEO step down. You can't really avoid that. That's it for today. I hope you have a nice weekend. What have you got? A week and a bit until the budget. Is it on Wednesday, isn't it? Budget Wednesday on the 30th. So I fear some more volatility ahead. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get some more leaks from the weekend press on the budget. So interesting times ahead. A bit depressing, really, isn't it? Anyway, thank you for listening. Like I said, if you can do, give me a rating review. That'd be good. And sharepickers.com/tips if you want to receive my emails. Thanks very much for listening. Speak to you next week.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. Building wealth through investing. For more information, visit sharepickers.com. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Every business has an ambition. PayPal Open is the platform designed to help you grow into yours. With business loans so you can expand and access to hundreds of millions of PayPal customers worldwide. And your customers can pay all the ways they want. With PayPal, Venmo, Pay Later, and all major cards. So you can focus on scaling up. When it's time to get growing, there's one platform for all business. PayPal Open. Grow today at paypalopen.com. Loans subject to approval in available locations.